It's a steamy late summer day on Paul Willis's hog farm in Thornton, Iowa. There's only the suggestion of a breeze shaking the tree leaves, and hogs are milling around in an open pen, their large wet noses rooting for food. Willis is the founder of the Nyman Ranch Pork Company, and today he's giving a tour to a special visitor, the president of the Humane Society of the United States, Wayne Pacelli. Pacelli is on the front lines of the Great Crate Debate, what hog producers call gestation crates, and the Humane Society calls confinement crates on factory farms. As part of a new tactic, Pacelli is taking his message directly to farm country. Willis shows Pacelli how he does things.
We can walk on down.
Did you ever do confinement, Paul?
No, never really. I went in one of those buildings once, when an early one, and I said, you know, this is a way to raise pigs. I'm not doing it.
By releasing videos depicting stomach-turning scenes from confinement operations, Pacelli and the Humane Society have been successful in getting fast food restaurants like McDonald's and food providers like Sysco to promise not to carry pork produced in confinement farms. Now, Pacelli is working to bring more farmers on board.
And with all of these retailers saying that they don't want any part of that in the future, it's inevitable. It's now just a question of, are we going to have an orderly transition, or are we going to continue to have, a fight about it?
We will be more than happy to sit down and discuss food and food production with any individual or any person that recognizes the right and the need for all forms of production agriculture to exist.
That's Hugh Whaley, the head of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, or USFRA. Whaley says they will only talk with groups that promise to keep all farming practices on the table. It's a nice way of saying the food wars are still very much on. USFRA is a coalition of farmers and ag groups who came together 2 years ago.
By and large, we were not being asked to enter and engage in the conversation about food. So we decided to take matters in our own hands and collectively come together.
Whaley says food producers have been misrepresented, and the food industry is partially to blame. For too long, the knee-jerk reaction of those in agriculture and agribusiness was to close ranks. Whaley says that's got to stop. Journalist Michael Pollan agrees.
What's happened in the food industry is that the way food is produced has disappeared for about 40 years from public view. Only people who grew the food knew how it was grown. No one else knew or cared. And now you have a great deal of interest. So these people feel that they've got the hot breath of the eater, looking over their shoulder, and that's making them really uncomfortable.
Pollan is one of the voices that helped fuel that hot breath, first as a reporter for the New York Times and now as the author of books such as The Omnivore's Dilemma. He says it only makes sense. Conventional food is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they've taken a hit from bad publicity.
I mean, basically they feel that shutting up has not served them well, and that letting people like me and these humane activists tell their story is worse than, letting them giving interviews and telling their own story.
That's why USFRA is hosting events they call food dialogues, not in the heartland, but on the coasts, like Los Angeles and most recently New York. And USFRA is using other techniques, like training farmers to talk with the media. One of those farmers is Stacy Pellet.
Okay, but we just did pull up in time for you to see you dump, which is good.
Pellet greets her uncle-in-law. It's harvest time on their 6,000-acre farm just outside of Atlantic, Iowa. USFRA sent Pellet to San Francisco to learn how to talk to the media and how to talk to people who think of big farms as a bad thing.
So I'm well-educated in talking with people, but what they really taught me was how to understand where they are coming from and the position the viewpoint that they have.
As Pellet drives around her family's farm, she explains her biggest tool is to talk from personal experience as a mother and a farmer. She says people who criticize farmers often don't understand what it means to make food.
You know, people sometimes think of it as a corporate environment, or if you get large, you are no longer a family farm, but we are a family farm, whether we farm 10 acres or 10,000 acres.
Pellet says the idea of a small family farm is a bit nostalgic. It's just not viable in today's world.
There's been such a shift to the urban areas and away from the production agriculture. You know, less than 2% of the people are farming, but there's a huge percentage of people involved in agriculture. And we always say, if you eat, you're involved in agriculture, and that's our perspective. I shouldn't look at you and not, I should drive, especially when I'm going around an S-curve.
Back at Paul Willis's farm, he says he agrees that everyone should be involved in the business of food. And he says, yes, things have gotten bigger. But he says that doesn't mean it's the best way to do things. And Willis holds out hope for change to what he says is a more sustainable model.
Actually, the average age of our farmers is 47. The average age of farmers in general is 57. So of course, it's a concern, but we're doing something. We're trying to encourage people to get into raising livestock in this manner. And just the age of our farmers is kind of shows that the trend is with us.
Still, he says there is no denying agribusiness has changed the way most farmers think about farming.
A lot of these skills are passed from one generation to the next. I've actually had agriculture classes of farm kids that have come out. We had a group of about 20, and none of these kids, all grown up on a farm, had ever seen a pig outdoors before.
So up for grabs is how future generations will farm and what future eaters will demand from their food. In Thornton, I'm Sandhya Dirks, Iowa Public Radio News.